Believe in good. The Salvation Army has taken on the believe in good statement, embracing that is who the Salvation Army is, who we want to be, our motivation for how we are as a church, an organisation, how we live out our faith, how we interact with one another, how we care for and assist one another. Believe in good. Now, I've got to say, personally, and there's probably some in the room here, I was a little sceptical when I first heard this. It was a bit weak for me, that statement, because it's more, I am more than that in Christ. I believe in my God who has saved me. But the more I've looked at this, believe in good. What does that mean for us? Because it is who we are and we believe in good. Sarah brought the message last week that reminded us that we, as a Salvation Army, have always believed in good. It has driven all that we've been in the past and it is who we will be in the future. It is the Salvation Army's motivation with God at the very centre. She reminded us last week about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, looking after the one, caring, loving the one, but also all of his sheep, all who follow him. So the scripture that was read this morning to us from Luke 4, 14 to 44, actually 14 to 21, summarises Jesus' powerful teaching and ministry, the very purpose of his ministry. Everything he came to this earth to do was to speak the good news. Good news to all nations, all people, not just news, not just an announcement, but good news. Luke 4 begins with a spirit-filled, power-filled Jesus as he heads into the wilderness for a time of fasting and testing, where he is tempted over and over again by that pesky Satan. And we all know that pesky Satan. Jesus, having received the Holy Spirit at his baptism, now moves into a time of spiritual warfare and temptation. But Jesus comes out a victor. Even though we know that Satan continues to not give up, watching for every opportunity to tempt the Saviour of the world away from his Father's will. So Jesus travels back to his hometown Nazareth, a place where he was raised, a place where he's known, mostly known as Joseph and Mary's son. Luke begins to describe Jesus' ministry in Galilee and especially here in his hometown, Nazareth. News, the stories about Jesus had spread here in Nazareth around his friends, the family, neighbours. So they were anxious to hear him and see him once again, this young boy, now a grown man. Who had he become? Being the Sabbath, Jesus goes to the synagogue, stands up, opens the scroll, and reads the scripture from Isaiah 61. Essentially, I believe, giving the sermon of the day, which Jesus describes here as key verses. Jesus was proclaiming who he is and what his purpose on earth was. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He, the Father, has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. He rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant and sits down again. All eyes are on him. So he continues by saying, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. We see here the customs and habits of Jesus, the one regularly participating in the religious life of his community. He would have been brought up to embrace all of this as a child. So this was normal church life. Here we see him as a teacher, as he reads God's word. The people of Nazareth would also have been familiar with Jesus' ability to read Hebrew and then explain it. The Jewish rabbis interpreted this passage to refer to the Messiah. So you can imagine how shocked they were when Jesus boldly claims it is he it was written about. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord upon me. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Jesus is making some pretty bold statements. The Spirit of the Lord resting on the speaker, Jesus. Jesus, the chosen one, the one anointed to preach and proclaim the good news of God. Boldly explaining it because it was the purpose of proclaiming good news to the poor. Those economically disadvantaged and marginalised, those seeking for someone to save them, give them a better life, those open to hearing the message of the Lord, those desperately seeking a saviour. These are the humble people that God exalts because they recognise how much they need a saviour. Here in the passage, we see that the powerful and rich are sent away empty. This message is not for them. They had everything. They were comfortable. They did not see a need for anything to change in their life, probably stuck in their ways, in their traditions. The good news is a message for those who seek a better life, seek to know more about God, more about the kingdom of God. It's a good news message, where they are recipients of God's kingdom, invited to the feast, and part of who Jesus came to this earth for, welcomed with open arms. The day of the Lord's favour that is referred to in Isaiah was the year of the Jubilee, a time set aside for liberation and restoration. All debts are paid, and it is a new start. So what is this good news? It's a favourable announcement conveying a positive message that, yeah, it's positive. Proclaiming good news means to preach God's message of redemption, a message of salvation, that the kingdom of God has come to this earth in the person of God's own Son, who brings with him the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. We know that, right? In the Old Testament, the poor were those who had no inheritance, financially poor and of low social status. The downtrodden, the oppressed, the destitute, helpless, those dependent upon those who were powerful. Those who were poor lived in dependence upon God. The Psalms we read, a message that is expressing a reliance on God as protector, deliverer, saviour of the poor. And then it continues in the New Testament as the humble who live by faith. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:3, it begins with God blesses you who are poor in the spirit, for the kingdom of God is yours. Let me read that again. God blesses you who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God is yours. The poor in spirit are those who recognise their own spiritual poverty, realising their desperate need for God, and so they turn to him and receive the richest of blessings. Goes on to say in Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Proclaiming the good news of the Lord describes a way of life, an authentic way of living, where everything we do or say testifies to what God has done for us, the good news of Jesus' gift to us of salvation. In Mark 16:15, the New Living Translation says that Jesus tells us to go out into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. We don't just believe that he is our saviour, although it's a great start, but we live it out, checking in, caring for one another, forgiving those who have let us down. In James 4, he dares to say that being a follower of Christ means that we have to change the way we live. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves, wash, be purified, humble yourselves. The world's view is to look after yourself, and yet to be a follower of Christ is to live out the characteristics of our Lord. Therefore, we must serve. We don't just say to those who are hungry, go and eat, or those who need clothing, just go and buy some new clothes. We feed them. We provide the clothing. I'm sure that you have heard the William Booth statement, his motto of soup, soap and salvation. Feed them, wash them, clothe them, and then get them saved. Tell them that salvation story. Tell them the good news of Christ. Our actions match what we say we believe. Now, actually, we're not too bad at doing these things. We know here at Parramatta that people can walk in this building and be shown love as soon as they walk in the door, whether it be through English conversation classes, learning English, a craft class, learning a skill, possibly even making items for those who are in need. The community market day where people can receive food and assistance, or just simply a tea and a coffee and someone to chat to. There is so much more that happens here. We do it well. All of these things help us to live out our faith. The more we grasp God's love and forgiveness for ourselves, the more we learn about our own faith in Christ, the more we experience a more generous, caring, loving God. We want to share it, not keep it for ourselves. And we want others to have the same experience as us, being filled with all the fullness of Jesus Christ. At one of our core, number of years back, we had a bandsman. Now this core, they no longer had a band. And this guy was really generous with his time at the core and served really well. Very gifted in making things, fixing things around the hall. He had joined a community band and he loved playing. He told us that when the community band plays in a competition, they must play a hymn. So when it came time to rehearse the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," our friend asked if he could take a moment to stand in front of the band and to share his faith story. He told the story of the hymn first, and then he gave what we would call his testimony. He had been a follower for many years. He wanted his fellow bandsmen to truly understand what these words were meaning. He wanted them to understand the good news of Christ. He wanted to share all that this good news had done for him in his life. Proclaiming the good news requires talking about Jesus. Our testimony is so important. We can have all the great social programs in our core that helps to assist people, but never give up talking about our God. Never give up sharing your faith. Share how Jesus' love has changed your life. Share your own faith story. I believe that wherever you are, Jesus always gives us an opportunity to talk about him, to proclaim him, to share the story of Jesus, how the tomb was empty and death was defeated. We have been given a new life, a new hope, a new purpose. No matter what happens that brings us down, we have a Christ who willingly comes to us and offers forgiveness, grace, and love. This is a good news story for all people, all who are ready to hear it. Our faith story is meant to be shared with others and lived out for the glory of our Lord and Saviour. As I was preparing this week and thinking and talking with Clayton about all that is good in our lives, all the good that we are ready to share, there is so much that we can praise him for. Some of you here this morning may know that Clayton and I are excitedly waiting the birth of our first grandchild due in December. This has been good news for us. News that we have found difficult to hide. Although I will say that we did very well keep it secret for about the first 15 weeks. Especially from my parents, which was so difficult. I kept myself busy making things for the baby, so I didn't ring my mother. But, you know, once we could... We wanted to share it with the world. We wanted to share it with everyone. We wanted to say how excited we were. Good news, right? We can't keep it to ourselves. We want to share it with all those who will hear us and celebrate with us. Do you know the good news of Jesus? Is it good news for you? Has this good news changed your life? Does it give you joy, filling your days with that same joy? And is it one that you want to share? Sometimes I think we can be miserable as Christians, as if it's just all too difficult. And there are those days, right? Clayton has often told the story of when he was young. He thought being a Christian meant that he would miss out on all the fun things in life. I mean, really, what was wrong with him? Whatever those fun things really were, I am not sure. He reluctantly accepted Jesus at 16 years of age. It was only later that he realised that he hadn't missed out on anything. He'd had all the good. He'd had all the fun. He came to realise that Jesus was at the very centre of that, the good who came to bring joy. His life verse being John 10:10, where Jesus said that he comes to bring life in all its fullness. Now that is good news, right? Something worth telling, something worth sharing. Have you experienced the fullness of life, what David called the joy of salvation? Or are you poor in spirit? Right now, are you looking to renew your faith again, to receive and be filled with the Holy Spirit as Jesus was? Do you need to be inspired by others' faith stories to help encourage you? Maybe this morning you are strong in your faith, but you're keeping it to yourself, and there could be many reasons that you do that. But do you need the courage to step out, to find the people who have not yet heard about Christ? Maybe even someone in your life who has heard the gospel story, the good news, but needs to hear it again and again, hear your story. Share Jesus in your community. Keep sharing your story. Proclaim the good news. Live out your faith. Be full of joy. Share this good news to those around you. Thank him for the opportunities that he gives to you each day. Pray that he will continue to use you to build his kingdom and share the good news. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for the good news that we have not only received for ourselves, but we get to share it with others. Thank you for the love that was revealed through your Son, Jesus. Help us to live out your faith, out our faith daily. Lord God, guide us to act always in your name, to bless those around us. Give us the words to share your love to everyone we meet. Use us always to proclaim your gospel, your good news. This we pray in your name. Amen.